I'm here in Uton Butler, and I'm talking to Maureen Murray.
Maureen McAdam Murray.
McAdam.
That's your maiden name? Yes, that then people would understand.
Okay, well, tell me about the McAdams then. Where did your people come from?
We originally lived up at Wattle Bridge.
Okay.
Annamora, the whole townland. Next door neighbours was Mrs. Nickel. On the hill was Stanley Tilson, post office. And round at the bottom of the bridge was the McBrides at a shop.
I see.
A very close-knit community.
Yeah. Was it a farming background?
There would have been farming backgrounds, yes. And
your father was farming?
Well, half farming at that time, went out to work in this Nisnesky factory with the rest of us.
And what kind of factory was
it? It was the cotton factory.
Yeah.
That everybody loved. It was a time of our lives. We were all working together.
Yeah. And so, was there many of you in the family then?
All in all, Patrick, Rosaline, Raymond, Maureen, Tony, Gerrit, and Desmond.
Oh,
and Bairnie.
Yeah.
The other sister, she was injured as well, and so was Desmond, the brother.
Okay.
They were injured too, and Raymond was killed.
So we'll talk about that. So what happened? The Troubles came along in 1969 and...
It did, and everything, we went on as usual. No country life, people went on. Starlight Ballroom was going in. Clonus, Belturbet, anywhere. We all loved to dance, which young people do, non-stop. And then I was working in the factory as well. And then we had changed over to do night shifts. And on the Friday night, on the 12th of October 1973, Mother had gone to Bingo and Daddy in Clonus. They loved the Bingo. And Raymond stayed with me. He left me up to the Clonus Cross, as we call it, to meet John James McGuinness, who used to always have the car. And I was waiting on him, and Bairnie and Desmond was after, I think, making a pay. Mother had made a pay, and she went off to Bingo. Bingo would start about 9, but they go about 8:30. So I'd have been getting on me night clothes to go for night shift. And Raymond then would leave me up to the Clonus Cross and wait at the house for Bairnie and Desmond, the children as we called them, till Mother and Father came back from Bingo. Then he went into Clonus then to meet up with... My Uncle Mickey had a bar in Clonus, Mickey McAdam, and stayed there for, as long as the bar, and all his pals.
Of course, yeah.
Yes. Got ready, and the next thing, this car just pulled up at the door, and I went out, my coat on me and my work clothes, and moved off. I says to Raymond, you'll not be fit to bring me tonight. I'll not need you tonight because John James has come for me. Because I looked at the figures and there was always three people in the car. John James and another man in the front. Another fella in the back who sat in the middle right between the two seats. He'd done the whole watching. Don't ask me what for. That time there's no seatbelts. And I'd pop in then beside them and listen to God only knows what. And... And the car went on down the road. It went on a bit. And then the next thing, then it came back. And I says to Raymond, Johnny must have a few tonight in him. Because that time they could drink and drive and go into work, sure. I'm going back 44 years or something. And I went to step over to the car. And they drove off again. Then they come back. I says to Raymond, Johnny, surely, because he's cruising round the road and he's forgetting to... And the other two mustn't be a hair whiter because everybody seems to be on the move and there was no other traffic. And the car, I thought, was John James McGuinness, his passing remarks. Back again. And then I went out to say, I better go out and I'll get him this time. But in the meantime, it stopped down at the bridge as we called it, Nichols Bridge. It'd actually be the Finn Bridge. But how and ever, the next thing we heard was the window breaking. The shop window. We never thought of anything, possibly robbers. We don't even know. So I came in, Raymond was combing his hair, fixing his hair, and Bernie and Desmond was, I don't know what they were doing, playing Ludo, I think, kill another. And bang went the window. And I says, God, the big window's been broken in Nichols. So Raymond went out and walked around, could see just the window was broken. He says, I better go down and tell Mrs. Nichol. So in the meantime, he went down. I went with him to say, no, and we'll go to the back. Went down to the back of the house, and he says, you look after the children, and I look after Mrs. Nichol. And went back up again for a few minutes, and next thing I could see them all, the two of them coming out together, out. There was a side door from the main house into the shop, and there were two of them was coming walking through it, and I was at the big wall, and Bernie was further on up, and Desmond. And then they were looking up the street and looking down it, and I was looking over, and the window was broken. That was it. And the next thing, bang, it just went up.
And an explosion, a bomb.
Bomb just went off in the shop.
In the shop?
Yes.
And was there anyone killed?
My brother died at her feet. Raymond. And Mrs. Nichol was blowing up the street. She survived.
Yeah.
I was lifted off my feet onto the road, but lost the eye and side of the face and all different injuries. And then I thought the car was coming back. And then I thought, oh my God, they could kill us. And I had to jump up. And I think that's why today there's so many aches and pains, you know, been blowing up. My back gives an awful lot of trouble, sciatic or something. And it's really terrible. There wasn't a noise. Car turned, went way on about his business somewhere else, I don't know. Didn't come back up too near us then. It was so the whole rubble was on the road. Just a deadly silence that I can never forget. You know, in the country.
Yeah.
And there's all those people knocking about, but that night there wasn't one to be seen. So we screamed for help and nobody come. And I knew we were all bleeding. So we climbed the fence at Tilson's, God knows, when I think about it. And we were rightly up the big field, it's probably now it was big lawn, big field. And we met Stanley coming. He had a flash lamp too. Raymond had a flash lamp. Got Tim the country's flash lamps. And the next thing then, Stanley asked what happened. And we said, so he brought us on into the house. And Mrs. Tilson was round visiting a friend up the back road. I can't remember those people. They could be dead now. But how and ever she came home, she drove on through the rubble and come up and got us sorted out the best she could and waited for the ambulance. And
yeah.
The ambulance has come. But we didn't know Raymond, I don't think, was dead. I hadn't a clue, but he was. He was killed instantly.
So was this carried out by terrorists from
yes,
the other side? Do you know who they were? Did
no,
you ever find out?
No. Even the police that come out never found out.
And why do you think they attacked?
We don't know. Maybe it's just because they were Protestants. I haven't a clue. Never had.
So this was a little country shop out there in the middle of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere.
And a bomb was thrown in the window.
Yeah.
And your brother just happened to be in there at that time.
He was in, brought Mrs. Nichol out. He said he'd look after Mrs. Nichol and for me to look after the children. We called Bernie and Desmond the children, you see, because we were older.
And you were there, and but you escaped.
I was at
the wall. With lots of injuries, of course.
Yes, and Bernie was gallbladder trouble, I remember, and facial injuries, not on my side went. And Desmond split the side of his face, a piece of glass just got him right on the side.
Yeah. And Mrs. Nichol was
sitting up the street when the neighbours then landed. After that, we were brought to the hospital.
Yeah. And so what was going through your mind? Like, afterwards, did you think, why us, or why Mrs. Nichols, and why the shop? And
I think really and truly, when the shock set in was fear. Did they want to kill us? Will they come back?
Mm-hmm.
It was a nightmare. And then I was, you know, we were brought into hospital, but I had to be transferred to a hospital in Derry. I went to the eye injuries. You know, and an awful commotion in the hospital that time. Because inside 5 minutes, the police was in questioning, you were scared.
Yeah.
You were every way and cold, and I had to go then to theatre.
Yeah.
And Bernie didn't go to theatre, not quite, no. Nor Desmond, they were all stitched up and that. But I remember telling Bernie to be brave, it'll not be sore. Oh my God. No. Then Mrs. Nicol came in. I think the staff thought at the time Mrs. Nicol was her mother. You know, this woman lost her children.
Yeah.
And then whispering going on, and others gone to the morgue.
Yeah.
And somebody's nurses said, God, she's a bit old looking to be the mother of them young children. But she wasn't. She was the neighbour mother, was at Bingo, and the guard went into the hall and told them to come out.
What after all of that, you know, and you had to go home and carry on with life, and
oh God,
how difficult was that?
Desperate. Well, first of all, the quietness got me in the house, because in our house, I don't know what was wrong with us, but we could laugh at nothing, and I mean it, day and night. As my father used to go, bless him, just quit laughing at nothing. But that wasn't there anymore. That was the first thing I noticed was gone, the quietness. Place was full of people talking and neighbours in and
yeah.
Non-stop. And all the community was in, helping out and doing as much as they could.
Yeah.
It was the quietness. No laughter was the first thing I had noticed.
From then on, were you aware, were you extra careful of everything you did?
Everything. Everything would be double checked. I got married to a lovely man. Didn't work out in the end after 25 years. But 3 beautiful children. Too protective of them, because if I've seen them, you'd have flashes in your mind. God, if something happens to them. You know. Because when we were children, when your summer holidays, you know, was the River Finn. That was as good as any seaside to us. You'd walk it, but I wouldn't have allowed my children to do it, no.
Yeah.
Protective in every way possible.
Did you feel living up there, you know, in that part of Fermanagh? It was quite close to the border.
It is indeed, we're just beside it.
Did you feel vulnerable to, you know, that during the Troubles, that it was, that you were kind of in a dangerous place, if you know what I mean?
Like before it?
Yeah, it was very much
a
hot spot, wasn't it, for Trouble?
But you went on to your work, we're all in the one factory, and you look forward to seeing everybody, and, you know, you went on about your daily life.
But with all the people in the factory, were you discussing, do you know, every night you'd see something happened and it was all very local.
Aye, something happened. Well, you could hear 10 stories about it, you know.
Yeah.
But you'd say, God help that family.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of it, you know, nobody wants trouble at the door or that, and mother always maintained keep trouble outside. You know, she was a cabin woman from Bano.
Oh, she with a name like McKay,
Smith.
Smith, yeah.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
My dad was local.
Were you Catholic or?
Oh, we were Catholics, yes, still am.
Yes. And did you find that, yeah, of course, that's, it's all very kind of confusing,
yes.
Isn't it? I mean, it wasn't a sectarian attack then. Well, it was on poor Mrs. Nicol, of course.
It was, and it was very cruel because she was an old woman living on her own. Her son had went to a harvest Thanksgiving with his girlfriend.
But those 3 men in the car, they must have seen you.
Oh, no, I was prowling about, but see, the car they used was the very same one that I went to work in. They used the same kind of a car.
Okay, so you...
It confused me brain.
Yeah.
I thought it was Johnny Hinner, my companions.
Yeah. Did you ever want to know who it was?
Oh, yes, and just to find out why. Why kill my... You know, like, Raymond wouldn't have just an ordinary person. Lovable.
What age was he?
He was 24.
Yeah.
You know, and Bernie and Desmond and...
Was he connected to... you know, was he a member of the UDR or was he...
My brother?
Yeah.
No, we're Catholics, no.
I say, what were you
saying? Not at all, nor neither was the neighbour involved in anything. He lived more at Eyre House John, Ms. Nicholl's son. In fact, she used to tell him, no matter where she looked for him, he was up at Eyre House, Raymond, and
yeah.
talking and adding bits to it. And my brother could be out and bring home one, there's St. John, and be listening to them. Stupid things.
Yeah.
You know, but... What goes on and... Well, they weren't repeating, I suppose. I don't know. But John would have listened.
Yeah.
And like up right now, where there was no difference in Catholic and Protestant, everybody was the same. No.
Yeah.
People went on about their business and shops was there and Ken North had a shop up the back road. Afraid if it opened at 9 when the customers landed. Mrs. Nicholl's customers, they were all from way up the Cavan Road, but have come on their bicycles.
Yeah,
it was a pay the gossip.
So she was the kind of main shop there.
She owned it, yes.
And she supplied. She had her catchment area. If you
yes,
like,
and out. Mrs. McBride had a shop just down in the corner, and she had hers.
Mm-hmm.
Ken North was up the back road with his.
Mm-hmm. All and very close.
Very close, and then Leggy Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Up the road where there was a bar, and it had a shop, and it, if the prices was too dear in one shop, in the south they came down.
Yeah.
The north.
And they were all in that area that you...
Yeah.
What was the name of the locality again? Sorry.
Annamore. Yeah. Wattle Bridge, actually. We'd have come on the Wattle Bridge, but it was Annamore as a townland.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's and from that day on, then did was there any other attack in the locality or even in the factory? You know,
I know I had to leave my work. That was the saddest thing. I couldn't go back to my work
because you couldn't actually.
Well, I couldn't. Continue. I was in hospital, and I'm still attending the hospital.
And you could never get up and go to work after that, then.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, because far too many hospital appointments coming in.
Yeah.
Because
it was a life changer, was it?
Don't mention it. It was the cruelest life changer I ever had. And I'd never want to know anybody ever getting the same again.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear tell of it, you know, the news is something I wouldn't have watched in case you'd hear something. Because you know what those people are going through.
Yeah.
I do. I feel for everybody because you don't hurt anybody.
When you hear this thing about Catholic and Protestant and, you know, and the strong divide between the two.
Yes,
you know?
You've never passed up remarks of Brown Arrow, eh? That's all you went on about your business. The price of cattle would have been the main topic or... God help somebody, God knows, a bit of gossip for the ladies. Didn't care what religion you were, as long as there was a bit of gossip, I suppose. Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything like that, you know. I can't remember religion ever being talked about. And Mother would have said the rosary every night and put me out for laugh, and my father used to open the door and throw me out because they used to make me laugh. And we'd have been all giddy. But I was the one that was through it. There used to be a wee wind in the house and I used to look in at them. Oh, God. Unbelievable. But...
Yeah.
I think the rosary stopped for a while after that. I don't know. You know, the whole place changed.
Yeah.
You know, Bernie was injured and Desmond. And the other children...
Did they recover
from
their injuries?
They did. Mm. Well, I don't... Not mentally now, but you never recover mentally.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You know, definitely don't. Remember Bernie going down here and I had to get glass out. Oh, God, I remember her squealing. You know, we're in two different rooms. Ooh. Yeah. It was quite sad now. But Desmond didn't have he only had to go back to hospital, I think, once or twice. I'm not even sure about that. To look at his face to keep the ray, because it felt very deep scar when the glass just split him right up.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, do you know, time has moved on now.
Oh, and, definitely.
And, do you think that these personal injury stories should be properly archived? Do you think
they should? They certainly should let the people know what happened to innocent people. There's an awful lot of innocent victims out there. I've met an awful lot of people, especially in the early years, when it was Musgrave Park who was doing all the, still does, I think, doing all the artificial limbs. Well, artificial eyes come under it.
Yeah.
And that's where you'd see, you'd know then how bad the troubles were.
Do you have
were.
An artificial eye?
Oh.
Oh, I see. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And the hearing went, no hearing.
Go away, yes, my God, yeah.
Used it to have two hearing aids.
So you're a real survivor of the troubles then.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's plenty like me, you know. And yeah. I hope they would.
Mm.
I hope they got their lives back. Some, it's very, very hard and tough to get it back.
Yeah.
But you just survive. And then I was married and three beautiful babies. Well, that, of course, lifted the roofs of everybody's head and my own.
Of course it did.
Cloud nine.
Yes. So what are your feelings then, say, on when you had the Good Friday Agreement and in that particular...
Oh, brilliant. I thought this is it now.
It's all over.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the idea of the prisoners being released then?
It's hard to know. You know, strangely enough, I'm still not really... When you didn't come from a political family, it's amazing you don't get into an awful lot of things. Maybe that's the way people thought at the time to do it.
Yeah.
Just let everybody out and, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I don't.
And here in Newtown Butler, would you have the same kind of tension, say? Do you know, is it...
I did in the beginning. I wouldn't go out the house, no. Because I was looking over my shadow and watching to see is anybody looking at me. And perhaps they were all looking because I was wearing an eye patch. As well as that, perhaps maybe, oh, there's the one that's, there's Maureen McAdam.
Yeah.
But they knew you were different. Because you weren't the same. The last thing I'd done that night was look in the mirror. Well, to get me even to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
It's an awful problem. But I'll do it because my dentist has told me to do it.
Yeah. No, I think you look fine.
No, I'll do it. I haven't changed much, believe you me, but we'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the way that we now talk about, you know, north and south, do you find that your mother was from...
Beno.
Cavan and that, so
yeah.
So would you have this do you think life would be different if we had an All Ireland rather than a border then?
It's hard to know, you know, but we've always lived in Northern Ireland and my cousins are all in the south.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to know, I'll be honest with you. We just continue on as the way things go and...
Yeah.
You know, not if...
Do you think the customs and the...
When I was a child, there used to be, you know, the customs.
Yeah.
And the man who went every day on a bicycle. And he came home with a different one. The customs hadn't a clue why he was going up and down. He was smuggling his bicycles. That was a true story.
I suppose a lot of that went on.
Well, it
time,
was
yeah.
serious then.
Yeah.
And would have been anybody who had wrote a book or had the wit to have done it, it would have been hilarious because everybody, well, I'm sure it was at it.
It was extra income.
It was a wee bit of extra income because remember in Ireland then there wasn't much money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it would have been extra income, and, you know, for anybody living in the border area and the customs or whatever you call them. I can just remember the name, the customs, and I never seen one to know what they looked like. No, we didn't, or before my time.
Yeah.
But I remember my sister talking about the spikes on the road and riding through them.
Yeah.
My older sister.
But you never really travelled down south, did you, at that time?
Oh, gosh, we danced down, not with wages, round Belturbet. Yeah. In the early years, now back in the 70s. Oh, definitely, and on around. Everybody did.
And then when the trouble started, did you continue going
down? Oh, yeah, oh, gosh, aye.
Yeah.
But then I think after, you know, well, I had quit dancing and that, been married. I think about 75, the Miami show band got into, beautiful singer Fran O'Toole was killed. Sang with the Miami.
That's right, and I think the bus was blown up.
The bus was blown up, they were gone home. Poor things after being out making their living. And a wonderful good band they were, because I had seen them in carnivals.
Yeah.
And I was amazed that after that the whole thing had died down. Because I'm sure the bands didn't like travelling up and down. It had been too hard on them and too much of a risk, maybe, you know. I don't know. They all seemed to have. Mm-hmm. But then I wouldn't have been part of the carnival scene then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd passed that, was married.
But you laid the blame on nobody, did you? Or did?
Well, I think it would have been nice if they had to give us a warning to get everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was waltzing up and down, running after a car like a dog after a bone, thinking it was my driver.
Yeah.
Going out to my night shift from 10 to 6.
Yeah.
That was just what we were doing. Same Friday night as any other Friday night.
Yeah.
But by God, it wasn't.
Maybe I should ask you then, you know, your parents, because you were young in the house.
We were
young. So what did they do? Did your father get up and get angry, or did he...
No, Adam was very, very quiet. My poor father said nothing.
Did he not? No.
Why do you start? Where do you... You can't start blaming the first person to come through the door.
Yeah.
That'd have been, I suppose, his way of looking at things. I was hospitalised, so I don't know. Place was full of people. My mother was injected and put to bed to keep her, you know, sedated a wee bit.
Yeah.
And we had to attend the inquest now. And all I can remember was the words of the... whoever had the coroner, I suppose, saying, "Greater love hates no man than those who lays down his life for his friend."
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. And Mrs. Nicol was out for the first time on crutches. I was wearing an eye patch. You know, we're like something out of the Beano, come to think of it. Yeah, my parents tried to go on as normal as country people did then. See, you remember, it was so long ago. It's not like now, if a cut happens on somebody, well, it's a hospital job. You know.
They got really, on with life.
They tried their best. They'd done wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And that shop was never done up until a neighbour bought it 13 years ago and was put back the way it was. Although it's not a shop anymore, it's a house and a big conservatory. And it's beautiful to see the lights on at night in it.
Yeah.
But it lay there empty and we had to look at that. And that was cruel. You know, you could see the spot where you stood, the spot where Raymond died.
It was a constant reminder then.
It was always, that's like everything else, always on your mind. Never got away. Never does go away, and you'll find with an awful lot of bomb victims, the stories are all kind of familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we have ever met,
mm-hmm.
but they are no different in any of them.
Yeah,
they have to try to have their life to kind of different.
Yeah,
we don't know how they reacted.
Maureen McAdam.
That's
Murray.
Murray.
Thank you so much for telling me your story, because I find it's harrowing, and but it's important to record it. I'm here in Newtown, Butler, and I'm talking to Bernie McAdam, and your married name is
Woods.
Woods. So you're a sister of Maureen.
Correct.
And so you went through the same terrible bombing that happened out in your house. Mm-hmm. But just from your point of view, mm-hmm. where were you and what were you doing in that? Was it an autumn day or evening on early 1970s?
yes, indeed. It was the 12th of October, 1973. I was actually supposed to go and stay with my other sister that night, and there was no phones in 73, so I sent her a message via my school friend to say that I wouldn't be staying with her that night because I was wanted to see a horror film on TV.
Okay, and so what age were you then?
14.
All right.
14. Okay. So whilst I didn't get to see the horror film on TV, I certainly got to see a horror film relived in front of my very, very eyes. I was doing my art homework. My parents had left for Bingo and Maureen and Raymond, where Maureen was going out to her night shift and Raymond was going out socialising.
And he was leaving
Maureen, and I was staying with me and my wee brother were staying because Mummy and Daddy would have been home on the appointed hour. I mean, if Mummy said she'd be home at 10:30, by goodness, she was home. And we had been left. Mummy had started to let me, the two of us, stay like that. So anyhow, I was doing my art homework, and events were usual Friday night, and we heard this car, and it seemed to be going up and down the road, but you don't really pass much remarks. And the next thing, the car, all I heard was the car stopping. There was a bridge beside the shop, and I heard the car coming to a screeching halt, and I heard running, footsteps running down the gravel path towards the shop. I then heard a crash, like Mrs. Nichols' window got broken. Then I heard the running back up to the car, slam, slam. The car doors went slam, slam. And the next thing I could hear, the car taking off at really high speed towards, as I thought, the border, because we lived on the border. And I said to, I can't remember exactly whether it was at the door, because it's black dark. I mean, it's October, 9:15 on an October evening. And I said, I think Mrs. Nichols' shop window is broken. And at that stage, Raymond had got a flash lamp, and he shone the light across the wall. And being 14, I said, I'm waiting to get Mrs. Nichol, and I took off like a bullet. I don't remember whether either Maureen or Raymond stopped me, but well, yes. There was no point because I was going on. And I went round, and the back door is obviously at the back of the house, and I ran round to the back door, and I knocked the door sort of politely first, because Mrs. Nichol, as I thought, she was elderly. In actual fact, she was only in her 60s, but when you're 14... she didn't come out, so then I started to really bang at the door, and I started to shout. Mm. I said, "Miss Nichol, come out, come out." And at this stage, Raymond come down. Raymond says something like, "I'll get her." And so then we went back up onto the road. And instead of going away from the shop, we went up onto the road and walked right round, right in front of the shop. There's a wall, big wall. And I remember leaning up, and I could see Raymond and Mrs. Nichol coming into the shop. Apparently, Raymond got in, and Mrs. Nichol said, "We'll just take a look at the shop." And so we were up on the road, looking down at the shop. And the next thing, Nichol's shop had a bell, like most shops in those days. There was a wee bell when you opened the door to alert, if you're coming into the shop. So I heard the door opening, and Raymond and Mrs. Nichol were in the shop doorway. And I shouted down to Mrs. Nichol, "Mrs. Nichol, your big shop window's broken." And at that, the bomb went up. There was minutes And all I can remember was the incredible heat on my face. And it didn't sound like a loud bang, it was just a bang. But I can remember this incredible heat on my face. I didn't realise, of course, that I was completely covered with broken glass and my face was bloodied and so on. And then I got up off the road. There was like seconds, it could have been minutes. It's very, time frame's ridiculous to try and pinpoint. But I remember picking myself up, so I must have been through. I must have been fired back, but I, you know, because I remember picking myself off the road and there was it was so silent. The silence, and we live at the side of the road where really, really busy road. There wasn't a sound, not a sound. And it was black dark, as you can imagine, apart from the lights of our family home still being on. And the next thing, Maureen and Desmond, my wee brother, or our wee brother, we just started to scream. And we screamed and we screamed and we screamed. And as far as I can remember, Desmond tried to go into the house and I think Maureen stopped him. Again, they're bits. And then we climbed a fence. We climbed a barbed wire fence to our neighbour's house. Our neighbour lived up on the hill, the rectory as it was known as. And Stanley Tilson, our neighbour, the man that owned the rectory, he obviously, his house, I would imagine, got a woeful shaking. And he obviously heard our screams because we met him in the field. Because to go to Tilson's house, you can go up the road and go up the lane. But we actually just crossed the fence and went up the field to it. And Stanley would have heard us. And all I can remember then is being in Tilson's hall. And there was just blood everywhere. And I remember Heather Tilson bringing me up, that was Stanley's daughter, bringing me up to the bathroom. And I was trying to clean. I looked in the mirror, and it was just because I think I had about 200 stitches in my face eventually. And I was trying to clean off my face. And because I was in shock, wasn't in any pain. And then I got this pain. I felt this pain in my stomach. And I lifted up, I was still wearing my school uniform, and I lifted up and there was just a big hole in my stomach where plate glass, there was, Nichols' house had two wee plate glass windows at the front and one of them, part of the plate glass, perforated my stomach. And so I just put I didn't realise it was as bad because again, you're so shocked. And I was in no pain, even though my arms, my face and this hole, literally, in my stomach. And so I went back down, and then I can remember Maureen sitting in, I can't remember whether we were in a kitchen part, and she was wearing this burgundy, mauvey, purpley coat, and her eye was gone. It was just a big mass, and it was horrific. But again, you're in such shock. You're so shocked. My wee brother Desmond, funny enough, I can't remember so much about him. He got a cut across his face there. Mrs. Tilson said, because we were wondering, what about Raymond? And Mrs. Tilson said, it's okay. I said, what about Raymond? And Mrs. Tilson said, it's all right. Raymond's gone into Clonus to get your mother and father.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, thank God. He's fine.
But he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. The ambulance was called. And I believe, when my mother, my parents was taken out of Bingo, the guards got up on the stage and told. And Mummy and Daddy sat separately because Mummy liked sitting beside the door and Daddy didn't like sitting beside the door because it's too cold. So he used to sit up at the front and the guards come up and stopped the bingo and said, would Mr. and Mrs. Patrick McAdam go to the door? And of course, the poor devils went and they met the guards, and then the guards met the police because it's a concession road. And anyhow, they got the length, and at this stage, the ambulances were there, but they had no idea where we were. And apparently Mummy said to Daddy, it must be bad, there's somebody gone out in a stretcher. And that was Raymond.
I see. Do you know what? It's important to get your story as well, Bernie. Sorry. It's important to get your story to Bernie because Maureen filled me in all the details about before and after and how you had to live with that for the rest of your days. Mm-hmm. So recording these stories and getting them really is important to do that. But thank you very much for your contribution.
No, but just to say on that I was a very happy 14-year-old Gabby, as my family would say. I was very happy at home and everything. And once that happened, I was terrified. Every single night. In fact, when I come home from hospital, I wouldn't stay. My sister Rosalie brought me back to her house. And I actually slept in between her and her husband. I was that scared. And yet my parents had to live with that. And I didn't leave home until I was 18, until I went to Dublin to work. And but it was awful. You kept thinking that we're going to come back. I used to get under the bed. I was so scared. I used to actually think they were going to come back and they were going to kill us because we'd seen it. So at 14, you don't need to go through that.
Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome. You.